Welcome to the Babbelry,
where translators visit the Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
Babel.
Babbelry.
I'm your host, Suki Wessling, and this is a mini babble. Just me talking to you. Go ahead and pick those mushrooms, or living gently with nature. One winter, my son and I were ambling through the forest, our hands full of interesting mushroom specimens, when we came upon a fellow hiker. She asked what we'd found, and so we showed her. She appreciated them, but then she said something that really stuck in my memory. "I love to look at mushrooms, but I don't want to pick them because I'm afraid they won't come up again next year." Her comment betrayed a certain biological ignorance, but beyond that, it betrayed a worldview that I think is worth exploring. Humans used to live hard with nature. We were subject to its whims and we were the recipients of its bounties. Both extremes led to our will to conquer nature, but our ability to control nature didn't happen for millennia. For most of human history, we were forced to interact on an intimate level every day with forces we didn't understand and couldn't control. This was hard, but it was healthy. It turns out that our bodies actually need and desire this interaction with dirt and pollen and poop and sunshine. Nature behind glass. Those of us of a certain age grew up when public environmentalism was in its infancy. While our rivers sported a slick coating of sludge, a crying Indian told us to keep America beautiful. I grew up in the world headquarters for Dow Chemical, so chemical company slogans are burned along with napalm into my brain, especially "life is fragile, handle with care." I believe we in the industrialized world experienced a deep and important shift in culture that few of us recognized at the time. We went from living hard with nature to being afraid to hurt nature within a generation. My dad's generation culled trees and used their bounty. My generation so reveres trees that we allowed the overgrowth which has led to a wildfire crisis. My mom's generation had kitchen gardens that produce lopsided, fragrant vegetables and fruits. My generation is the one that reached for wax-coated, plastic-enwrapped organic produce at Whole Foods while abandoning health food stores and farmers markets. But there are no rose-colored glasses here. I know there were many issues with the century of human conquest of nature that preceded modern environmentalism. I realize we went way too far in the wrong direction. I grew up in a place where the clear cut of ancient forests had created the ugly, weak-treed swampland that was the landscape of my childhood. I now live next to a redwood forest that was clear cut, and the second growth is much more fragile and prone to wildfire. But handling nature with too much care has led to a generation of people who are afraid to interact with the natural world in ways that make us smarter, happier, and healthier. That crying Indian wasn't paddling his canoe on a docent-led trip to take digital photos of nature. He was trying to live in nature the way that humans, a product of nature, should. With care, yes, but also with appreciation, with interaction, getting down and dirty and learning to understand our natural earth. Save Earth, save life. Protect our planet, preserve our future. Earth, love it, don't abuse it. One Earth, one chance. Conserve to preserve. Our culture has internalized these slogans about nature, all of them well-intentioned and containing good advice on a societal level. Public messaging has to break through the high levels of ignorance, complacency, and apathy created by modern life. The capitalistic lifestyle promoted to us daily in commercial media has led to choices that are quickly making this planet less livable for all of us. Plastic bits in the oceans, smog particles in the air, chemical residues in our food. But at the same time, I think these messages have served to sever our deep and necessary relationship with nature. And it is this relationship that we need to foster now more than ever. Humans have an essential need to be outside in the sunshine to generate vitamin D and happy hormones. Humans have an essential need to revel in the sensory feast of nature, the feel of a fuzzy leaf, the way it changes colors when you pick it and hold it up to the light, the scent when you crush it. Humans have an essential need to be exposed to the good pollens, bacteria, and molds that test our immune systems and make them stronger. Go ahead and pick the mushrooms. No, it won't hurt you even to pick, inspect, and make spore prints of death caps. It won't hurt you to stroke the nubbly caps of fly agarics or smell the cinnamon earthiness of candy caps. It will delight you to laugh at the funky shapes of stinkhorns and to marvel at the greasiness of witch's butter. It will help you to pick a leaf off a tree, sit on a fallen log, and inspect it. Look at how its veins resemble yours. Wonder at its efficiency as a sunlight-to-energy factory. Marvel at how it rides the breeze when you drop it. And live gently with nature. Nature is there for us. We shouldn't abuse it, of course, but that doesn't mean we should fear that we'll hurt it. Humans need to live gently with nature in order to thrive. How do you interact with nature? Leave your comments at babbelry.substack.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Babbelry.
The Babbelry is produced with support from KSQD Radio in Santa Cruz, California.
Find us on major podcast platforms or at babbelry.com.